Good. Our God is so great. Thank you, worship team. Man, we got an awesome worship team. Amen. Take us right into the presence of the Lord. When Pastor Dunston went up, he says, I'm going up now. I was very tempted to say no. It's so good to worship in the presence of our God. Amen. It's good to have a team of people just helping me out this morning. Oh, this is different. You guys can see me okay? I feel like, just put it right there, thanks. I feel like, I think I need a stool. This chair is way too low. That's better. That's much better. God is good. I think I can do this. I don't know, I feel very restricted. But God is good, amen? We will face adversity and we will persevere. First, a testimony to the goodness of God. Thank you all for praying. I was in to see the doctor last week, and the range of motion I have in my knee now as compared to before the surgery is way better. And for you, that probably doesn't mean a whole lot. But when I went in, because of the damage that was done to the knee through me, through life and the different activities and the number of surgeries I previously had on it, they said I'd be lucky to get to the range of motion that I had originally, but they were pretty sure I'd be able to deal with the pain and walk well. They were shocked to see that the range of motion has far exceeded what I had before the operation. And that's to the glory of God, because they say that wouldn't happen. So thank you, Jesus, and thank you for your prayers. Amen? Somebody say God is good. And all the time. So, I had an interesting experience last week. Wow, this is weird. I don't get to walk around. Heavy too. I had an interesting experience last week. I was talking with Rick and Hallie, and Rick shared with me that they had bought a new horse, which is pretty exciting. And he shared with me who they bought it from. And when they told me, I really couldn't believe it, because they bought it. It's so weird. They bought it from an old friend of mine. A friend who we'd grown up together in our teens. We did youth ministry together way back when I was a teenager, and we did all kinds of things through our 20s, and we even worked in the same muffler shop for about 5 years. We did all kinds of things together. We bought cars together, and it was kind of amazing. When they told me they bought this horse from this guy, I goes, wow, that's just wild. And but over time, my relationship with him, we would kind of drifted apart. And occasionally, we bumped into each other. But from being together all the time, we just kind of drifted apart. And so talking with Rick and Hallie and sharing this, they invited Britt and myself to come over and see their new horse as it was being delivered. And by the way, it's a beautiful horse. But also gave me the opportunity to reconnect with my friend. And so we're at their place, and I'm standing kind of in the background, leaning against the fence post when the trailer comes in. And so they come walking down with the horse, and I'm back kind of out of the way. And suddenly he saw me, and his reaction was, he goes, no way, no way. No way. It was awesome. It was priceless. And it was so good to reconnect, you know. But it made me think, why did our relationship drift? What happened, you know? And over the last 6 weeks, I've had a lot of time to reflect, kind of just laying there. And I've had a lot of time to reflect. And, you know, one of the things I thought about is, what the odds of me being here? The odds of me being, how did I, a hammer welding, muffler installing mechanic, get to be a pastor of such a great church? And how did I wind up becoming the president of Elam Fellowship and get to serve as a pastor to pastors? How does that happen? You know, and I realized, well, obviously, first of all, it's because of God. Thank you, Jesus. But I also realized it's because of the people and the relationships that were in my life. People who walked with me, people who did life with me, people who supported me and encouraged me. And, I was thinking also that however, some of the hardest times of my life have been when I felt alone. Anybody relate to that? You know, I think if we're honest, some of the hardest times in our lives are when we felt alone and have no one to turn to. You know, no one to turn to for support in the moment of struggle, or even no one to celebrate a victory with us. You know, it's always more fun to go fishing with a friend so there is someone there to celebrate with me as I land that trophy bass. Amen? You know, and as I was thinking, the number one struggle by far that people have come to me over the years is this. This may surprise you, but I would say by far, this is the number one struggle. This is what they say to me. Pastor, I have no friends. Pastor, I have no friends. And that may shock you, but it's the truth. Time and time, I've been here, 22, 23 years now, and by far, that's the number one thing people say to me. Have no friends. Struggling with loneliness. Struggling with being alone in a busy world, even in a great church where there's lots of people. Have no friends. And there's something in us that longs for meaningful relationships. If we're honest, there's something in us that longs for meaningful relationships, but it is so common in today's age for us to drift towards isolation. Have no friends. We long for meaningful relationships, but so common in today's age that we drift towards isolation. Now, God's desire, God's plan is that we never stand alone. Amen? And so here's our thought for today. Here's what I want us to consider. We are created for connection, but we drift towards isolation. We are created for connection, but we drift towards isolation. Let's pray. Father, we just come before you this morning, and we just thank you for the great time we've had in your presence. And now as we turn to your word, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll continue to speak to us. Touch us. Help us to hear what you're saying. Let your word adjust our thinking if it needs to be adjusted. Let your word adjust our behavior if it needs adjusted. And let your word bring us closer to you and to each other by the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to read to you from Ephesians chapter 2. And I want to start, I'm going to read Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 to 22. And then we're going to jump over to Ephesians 4. And I'm just going to read to you verses 16. And when you go home, you can probably study the whole book of Ephesians because it's awesome. But Ephesians chapter 2. Verses 19, and it says, consequently, and that consequently refers back to the previous words that Paul wrote where he says, but now in Christ, you who were once far have been brought near through the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, consequently, because of what Christ has done, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizen with God's people, and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Jesus Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together. Turn to your neighbor and say, joined together. You didn't sound very convincing. Turn to your neighbor and say, joined together. There you go. And rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together. Turn to your other neighbor and say, built together. Oh, I like that. To become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Chapter 4, verse 16. From him, the whole body joined and held together. Turn to your neighbor and say, held together. By every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Joined together, built together, held together. Now, God is building his church, and he's putting us together, living stones. Like Peter says, we're living stones. Joined together, built together, and held together. And you know, I was thinking, perhaps you're here, and you feel like you don't fit in, and maybe you feel like you're the odd person out. Maybe you think you don't dress right, or you don't act right, or you don't think right, or you're not smart enough, or you don't measure up for whatever reason. I want to tell you something. Because of Christ, because of what Jesus Christ has done, you are not an outsider today, amen? You are not an outsider, you are not a stranger. Because we are joined together. God is building us together, living stones held together as each part does his work. He used the apostles and the prophets, and now he's using us, building us together to be a dwelling place in which God lives by his Spirit. Amen? Hallelujah. We are created for connection. First of all, with him and with each other. As I said earlier, it's so common in today's age for us to drift towards isolation. I have no friends. See, when you fight, but we can fight the drift. And when you fight the drift, you know what? You begin to live the life God created for you. And I want to tell you something. The fight is worth it. I've had so many people come and tell me I have no friends, I might as well just give up. And I want to tell you this morning, when we fight the drift, we begin to live the life that God has created us for. And I want to tell you, the fight is worth it. The fight is worth it. The fight is worth it. So how can we fight the drift today? How can we fight that drift in today's society? How can we fight that drift towards isolation? Number one, remember the faithfulness of God. See, the most important connection you are created to have is your relationship to God. Amen? And when we surrender our life to God, we enter into a relationship with him. And he promises, listen, he promises to walk with you. He promises to never leave you or forsake you. You know, in life, you'll experience those great times, those exciting times. And you know what? He's there to rejoice with you. I'll tell you experience. So this is a fishing experience, and I should have brought the picture so you know it's true. Even then. I'm fighting the drift towards Iceland. But I was on Lake Nipissing with Rudy, and I caught the biggest walleye I've ever caught. It was a trophy walleye. I'm not kidding you. It was like this. I have the pictures to prove it. But I remember catching that thing and all of a sudden laughing my head off. And Rudy began to laugh his head off. And then something amazing happened that I'll never forget. I felt we both felt the presence of God in that moment. And we began to laugh, and we began to laugh, And it wasn't so much the fish anymore. It was we were in, together in the presence of God because God was there enjoying the moment with us. You know, that was a very, very touching moment in my life. And it reaffirmed for me in a very practical way that God walks with us in every moment of our lives. He walks with us in the good times and he rejoices with us. Amen? He celebrates those exciting things because he cares about every detail of our lives. He promises to walk with you and rejoice with you. But you know what? You'll also face tough times. And he promises to walk with you in those dark times as well. When you're in the valley, in the dark place, he promises to lead you through. God walks with you, and he's constantly showing you his faithfulness. Amen? There's an interesting account in Joshua 4. The nation of Israel, as you know, had a promise. They had been delivered from slavery from the Egyptians, and God promised to bring them into a land flowing with milk and honey. But because of disobedience, and they're going to go for the promise, but because of disobedience, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. They drifted for 40 years. And so now in Joshua 4, they're finally standing at the bank of the Jordan River. And all they needed to do was cross over. And this is what the Lord tells them to do. He says, take 12 stones and place them as a memorial to my faithfulness. Let me just read that to you. It's in Joshua chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. I'll just read it to you just to bring you into context. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of Israel, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. These stones, placed together, are there to remember, to be a memorial, to remember, I am the God who walks with you. I am the God who brings you through. I am the God who fulfills my promises. I am the God who promises to never leave you or forsake you. I am the God who fills my word. Remember my faithfulness. Amen? Bible goes on to say, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive our sin. And when we begin to drift and perhaps make bad decisions like the nation of Israel, it's good to remember, if we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive all of our sins. Amen? So, but when we think about those memorial stones, it says, so that for those in the future would remember. When we think about those memorial stones, we may think, that's great. That was a memorial back then to remember. Something happened back then. And the truth is, sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's hard to remember God's faithfulness. You know, I remember sitting with a young couple. Remember sitting with a young couple. They were looking forward to the birth of their baby child. And I remember sitting there in the hospital room holding their stillborn infant. And I remember holding that stillborn infant in my arms. And I'll tell you, it was hard right in that moment to see God's faithfulness. It was hard that moment to remember. Read in Joshua, those stones were put down as a memorial to God's faithfulness. However, sometimes it's hard to see. It's hard to remember. And some of us are still carrying. They're still carrying the weight. I made this a little heavier than I. Oops. Some of us are still carrying the weight. We've been carrying painful stones instead of memorial stones. Stones where you think God has been, those times where you think God has not been faithful. And you look back and you wonder, where was he? And you carry around this heavy load. And you carry around disappointment. Perhaps you didn't get the job you wanted. Perhaps it didn't work out the way you wanted it to. Carry around shame. You trusted, and were violated. You trusted someone and you were betrayed, you were violated. God, where were you? Perhaps you're carrying guilt. Guilt for something. Or anger. You faced the situation and the outcome wasn't what you were expecting. And it's leaving you feeling angry and betrayed. And God, or perhaps there's some unspoken pain that only you know about. And it's blinding you to seeing the faithfulness of God. Bag got pretty light. Time to put those stones down. It's time to put those stones down. But what do you do? But what do you do when you don't? When it's hard to see the faithfulness of God, what do you do? Brings me to my second point. You begin to rely on God's people. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, and read that verse to you again. From him, the whole body, joined together and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. It begins to build each other and it's in build up in love. Sometimes it's hard. You know, I can tell you, repent of those stones and put them down. But sometimes in the moment, what do I do with a young family holding their stillborn baby? Sometimes it's hard. And we don't see and we can't see. We need to begin to rely on God's people. We need people to lean on, to help us remember God's faithfulness. You know, yesterday we had a men's meeting here at the church, and it surprised me, pleasantly surprised me. And all of a sudden, the conversation started happening, and what the conversation did was remind us of God's faithfulness as different ones began to share, because that's all they talked about was the faithfulness of God. And I was going, man, here's my message in perfect illustration. But we all need people to lean on to help us remember God's faithfulness. We need somebody we can, and I just heard this expression, we need somebody we can word vomit on. You know, just bleh. Sometimes we just need to get it out. Because sometimes when we hear ourselves talk, we realize just how skewed our perception has been. But we all need someone we can dump on. You know, you need, I need, we need people who won't judge us, but have good judgment. Did you hear what I said there? We need people who won't judge us, but have good judgment. People we can lean on. People who will help you put those stones down. People who will help you put those stones down and once again begin to see the faithfulness of God. How do we fight the drift towards isolation? Number one, remember God's faithfulness. Number two, rely on God's people. And number three, release the power of your story. Release the power of your story. Excuse me for 1 minute. Release the power of your story. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, we have this account of David and Goliath. And Goliath is, you know the story, Goliath is taunting God's people, and no one has the courage to dare fight this giant. And so David comes on the scene, and I love what he says. He says, "Let no one lose heart on account of this uncircumcised Philistine. Your servant will go fight him." And he says, "Because the Lord rescued me from the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine is going to be just like one of those." I love that. But here's something interesting, and I never clued into this before. Goliath was not David's personal giant. Did you ever think? Goliath was not David's personal giant. But this giant was threatening his people. And when you're my people, your giant becomes my giant. I love that. When you're my people, your giant becomes my giant. And so David goes to the stream, and you know what he does? He finds 5 smooth stones. Do you know how a jagged stone becomes a smooth stone? Water rushes over it. You know, these are all picked up by the river. Water rushes over it. It's pushed and bumped and it's scraped and maybe dropped over a waterfall or two, you know. That jagged stone, through the course of life and the bumpings and the being dropped over the waterfall, it slowly becomes a smooth stone. And you could say that smooth stone has experienced some life, right? That smooth stone has experienced some life. And so David takes that smooth stone and he fires it from his sling and it takes out Goliath. The Bible tells us we're living stones, perfectly fit together. And you're not just another stone. You know, you may have been bumped, you may have been pushed, you may have been scraped, but you've become a smooth stone. You've experienced life, and you have a story today. Amen? You have a story, and your story has power because you have a story of the faithfulness of God. Amen? How many here have a story of the faithfulness of God? Raise your hand. Just about everybody in this room. You have a story, and your story has power. You have a story of the faithfulness of God. And it's time to release the power of your story. See, when your people are my people, your giant becomes my giant, and your story could be the smooth stone that takes out that giant. Amen? Did you ever think about that? Your story could be the smooth stone that takes out that giant. Amen? Your giant is my giant. Your people are my people. Amen? Joined together, built together, held together. We are created for connection, first of all with Him, and then with each other. But it's so common in today's age to drift towards isolation. When you fight the drift, you begin to live the life God created you for. And that fight is worth it. Amen? How can we fight the drift? Number one, remember the faithfulness of God. Number two, rely on God's people. And number three, release the power of your story. I want to encourage you this morning. We're going to introduce to you life group leaders. And I want to encourage you this morning to become part of a life group. Because in that environment, we can share our story. We can build each other's faith. We can help each other and remember God's faithfulness. Amen? And we can fight that drift towards isolation. Joined together, built together, held together. Amen? Let's help each other lay down some of these stones. The weight is so much easier. Amen? So I'm going to turn the service over to Pastor Dunstan, and he's going to bring up, introduce our life group leaders and hosts, and tell you how you can become a part. Pastor Dunstan.